I am your host. This is your show. But my co-host every hour two, every hump day is Mark Levine. He's a former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. He hosts the Washington-based radio television talk show The Inside Scoop and the Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM. He also frequently appears on Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Business, CNBC on TV. He's tangled with Bill O'Reilly on the right and, of course, Pacifica co-host and me on the left. Mark, good afternoon and welcome. Well, definitely what a difference a day makes. A few hours, you and I are going to talk about America's ugly economic truth and why austerity is generating another slowdown. But the reality is today we are now talking about something that took place earlier in Ottawa, in Canada, our neighbor to the north. It's very bizarre to see Canada raises terrorism alert after soldier killed, and to hear there was a mass shooting and to hear audio, because you just don't associate guns with Canada or Canadians often.
Well, no, you don't. One of the things I noticed is when the police was telling everyone to leave the parliament, he was saying, could you please hug the building? And I'm thinking to myself, if we had a terrorism attack in the United States Congress, I can't see our police saying, will you please hug the building? I said, get out, get out! You know, I feel horrible for Canadians. I mean, it is our greatest ally. It is our greatest, largest trading partner. They are far more peaceful, usually, than we are. And it's awful to think that a guy was shooting people. He was shot. I mean, think of the soldier at Arlington, you know, in our Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, that that is concentrating on sitting upright and, you know, 24 hours a day is guarding that tomb. And it's ceremonial, of course, but it's a recognition of all the people that have died in America's wars. And to think that the Canadian soldier doing that duty was shot dead, and it's awful. And we have every reason to reach out to our Canadian friends today.
Absolutely. Question for you. Well, you know what? We have a call that's been patient holding. Let's take him first, and let's go to others. And Phoenix on line one is Robert. Robert, good afternoon and welcome. What's your comment on this this terrible event that took place in Canada today?
In Canada, you know, my prayers and thoughts are going with the people in Canada today. But I wanted to say that it's unusual for a law enforcement agency to be so transparent like the RC and Royal Canadian Mounted Police have been with the public and the media in Canada. It'd be nice, though, if our own law enforcement was like that here.
That's funny, Robert. And Mark, I want you to weigh in. I honestly thought it was the opposite. I thought they were very much like, they're not answering about the weapon. They're not answering. I didn't feel they were being transparent at all. I felt that they were keeping things very close to the vest and that they were, basically saying, can't answer that, need to know more. Can't answer that, need to know more. Mark?
Well, I don't blame them. I think that it just happened a few hours ago. They don't know all the details. It's better to get it right a few hours later or a day or two later than to get it wrong.
Well, yeah, but to Robert, I agree. But to Robert's point, do you think that they are more transparent than the American police when briefed in a situation like this or less? I feel the American police are actually more transparent because the American media is more aggressive.
I think it's too early. Let's give it a couple days. If we don't know 99% of what happened in 2 days, then I'm willing to judge them. But I'm not willing to judge either way right now. It's just too early.
Okay, Robert, one more sentence. We got a break, buddy. Robert?
Hi. You hear me?
Yep.
Okay, just real quick. At least they're not trying to do a Michael Brown and do a cover-up.
This is a very different situation. Very different situation. This could have...
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. I mean, you know, hey, look, our neighbors to the north are a class act. They really are. We could learn something from them. I'm Leslie Marshall. We'll be back with Mark Levine, my guest. Your calls, Robert. Thank you for your call. And more right after this. And also coming up, a reporter from Al Jazeera who hails from that area, who's in New York and en route to the epicenter of that attack. We'll be back right after this. We're back. Ali Velshi, anchor on Al Jazeera America, host of Real Money, which airs weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Al Jazeera America can be seen around the United States on Time Warner Channel, AT&T Channel 1219, DirecTV 347, Dish Channel 215, Verizon Fios 614. Find him on Twitter at Ali Velshi, A-L-I-V-L-S-H-I. V-E-L-S-H-I. Let me do that again. At A-L-I-V-E-L-S-H-I. He joined Al Jazeera America from CNN. He was the channel's chief business correspondent. I remember watching you there. And he was born in Kenya, raised in Toronto, and he graduated from the Queen's University in Canada. And he's Canadian, and quite frankly, headed back home after this terrible order of events earlier today. Right? Thank you for taking the time to join us before you head up.
It's my pleasure. In fact, and I worked at Parliament. I was at the Parliamentary Bureau of CTV, so I was in that building every single day.
And your father, Murad, is the first Canadian of Indian origin elected to the Legislative Assembly of Ontario. Correct?
Yes, that's right. That's right. So politics runs deep in my family. So watching all of these things going on, and you know, not only that. I mean, Ottawa is just a quiet, sleepy little place. I mean that in the best way. They're just not. It's not in their psyche to have this kind of thing happen.
I have to say, I lived in Buffalo, New York, and I spent a lot of time in Toronto. I dated a who will not be named former NHL hockey player. As you know, they're all American hockey players. They're Canadian. I spent a lot of time in Montreal. My husband's Indian, by the way, so I like those Indian boys. And
there you go.
But the bottom line here is for me to say guns and shootout in Ottawa, Canada, is like you say, almost laughable. Certainly this is not laughable. But I have to say, wow, these guys did seem prepared, and that's what they talked about. This is what they train for at a time like this.
Well, I tell you, I am pleased about that. The response, including from that first cell phone video that many people have now seen that was taken right after the shooting, the response was very quick. But it is not in Canada. You're not really aware of the police or military presence around you. It's almost like they are trained to keep this, you know, under wraps. It's not the sort of forward looking, outward looking sense of we're armed and ready. But it does seem that they reacted very quickly. However, unlike the United States, you know, the police give fewer press conferences, and when they give them, they don't speculate about anything. So the net result is the two questions that we need answered are not being answered right now, and that is, are there other gunmen? Do the police have reason to believe there are other gunmen involved in this who are not in custody because the one gunman has been shot dead? And the second question is, have they been able to create any nexus or connection to terrorism, which is what everybody is worried about at the moment, or these individual acts? And we don't have answers to either of those at the moment.
And I say third, is it a Canadian citizen? Is this an outsider? Or is
right.
Somebody with that?
And listen, we've had the mass shootings and mass murders that we've had in Canada, and we've had, you know, more than you'd think for a country that doesn't really have handguns. They have typically been lone actors, you know, on their own. Canada has not experienced any sort of either homegrown or terrorism on its soil in this fashion before. So if that is the case, this is a turning point for Canada, and I think that's what's on a lot of people's minds tonight.
Being of a Canadian origin, having worked with Parliament, but now working in the American press at Al Jazeera America, and by the way, you guys do a great job. And you,
thank you.
I think you know that I'm a liberal Fox News contributor, so you know, you guys do a great job. Okay, I got to leave it at that. But I wanted to ask you, as an American journalist who hails from Canada, do you feel that the press here is more aggressive, and do you feel that that opens up more speculation, and that those being interviewed, whether it's a president, a prime minister in Canada, you know, or the police, you know, almost get backed into a corner of getting into speculative, subjective terms rather than, again, keeping it close to the vest, as I saw the police chief do, which is basically,
yes,
we don't have the information at this time, blah, blah, blah.
I'm not going to tell you.
And I actually like that. But if he were in the States, what would have happened among the American press corps?
Oh, he'd have been grilled. There'd be calls for his resignation. There'd be discussions on cable news tonight about what they're not telling us and what they're hiding. There'd be investigations as to what his political connections are and whether he's in favor of the prime minister or not. You're absolutely right. It's a very, very different type of mood in Canada. And I would say this to you. I think the right answer is somewhere in the middle. I think American journalists can be too aggressive, and police can speculate. Police and officials officials can speculate too much in the interest of keeping everybody's 24-hour news cycle fed. And in Canada, they can tell you a little more because we, as journalists in Canada, let them get away with not telling you a lot more. So Canadians could probably be a little more aggressive. Canadian officials can probably be a little more forthcoming. I've spoken to some Canadian journalists today who are frustrated by the fact that, you know, look, of those two basic questions we have, I don't know that they can give me an answer as to whether this is a Canadian citizen or whether there's a connection to terrorism. But could you at least tell me whether you actively think that there's one or two more armed people running around who are part of this thing? That would be a piece of public information that would be useful to know. And we haven't gotten that yet. But I will say this shakes Canada to its roots. That is not, in America, you are still a little bit used to this. You're not used to it in your psyche in Canada. So there are many people very worried tonight. Has Canada turned some kind of a corner? And are we now squarely in the sights? And by the way, with all the stuff that's going on with ISIL and all the threats they continue to make about the West, that's got to worry you.
Oh, absolutely. Do they have the obsession with terminology in as a Canadian and being a part of the American press corps that we do or many do here? I'm not one of them, but it seems that Americans especially, and the network I'm on, are very hell-bent on the definition. Like, is it a terrorist attack, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm more about, well, to me, isn't any murder an act of terror? I mean, do the Canadians care as much about the semantics and the definition under the umbrella of terrorism as Americans do?
So in Canada, we have had a few mass murders with guns, not as many as have taken place in the United States, but the population is one-tenth the size. So they have much more of an effect on the psyche than do a regular type of event like that in the United States. So as a result, I think, and from the conversations I've had with people, the idea that something this serious has happened trumps the idea behind it for a moment. Now, that might change in 24 hours. If we decide or we learn that this is what you would traditionally think of as a terrorist attack, a politicized attack, something where somebody was targeting Canadians or the military or parliamentarians because of what they represent, then I think Canadians might change. But this is an exercise Americans have gone through a long time ago, and everybody's arrived at their own decision as to how they'd like to label things and whether it's important. I'm not sure most Canadians have been pressed to have that discussion themselves. When you think of 9/11, Canadians think of the fact that they feel they were there to help their best friend and neighbor in a time of need. Canadians don't think of it as an attack against them, even though it may well have, you know, been as easily directed at Canada. So that's, I think, what the psyche is right now. Right now, this is just a tragic event that everybody's shaken by.
I know that you have to go in just 10 seconds. May I ask you one more question?
Yeah, that's okay. Don't worry.
Really personal, so I hope you're okay. No, I'm not asking you out. I'm married. The marriage is okay right now. You look almost identical to my brother-in-law, my husband's older brother. I first saw you on CNN years ago, I was just like, damn, is that Ack? But I say this, you are a brown guy.
Yeah.
And the people in the United States, I think, you know, post 9/11 are very ignorant. And your first name, Ali, is very similar to Ali. And I would assume from your last name, your family's Hindu or Sikh, not Muslim. Am I correct in that?
No, we're Muslim. But the
you are Muslim.
Is actually originally Hindu. So that's it sounds Hindu because of that.
So, yeah. Okay. So being that you are a Muslim Canadian living in America, brown guy, got the bald head, which is definitely big on the, you know, I'm a terrorist, let's shave my head parade, it seems.
And an immigrant.
Oh, my God, you terrible man, you. Do you, and working for Al Jazeera America, do you suffer from yourself attacks of racism for those that don't know who you are? And I know everybody should know who you are, but you know what I'm saying? And do you fear that you'll get some a bit hassled when you go home, even though you might have a Canadian passport as well as an American passport, because you're this brown guy with this name?
I don't. I haven't felt it. I know that it exists, but I've been fortunate enough. Maybe it's the circles in which I run. I get hassled right out front about the Al Jazeera thing by some people who want to know why I work there and whether I've got the freedoms that I had at CNN. People usually come out front with that sort of thing for me. So I'm aware of the misconceptions. I understand them. I totally get why people can be a little bit scared. I don't know that I'd call them ignorant as much as they're they're not as exposed as they could be, but my business is to try and expose them as much as I can to what Al Jazeera does, what I do, and in the end, you get to choose whether you like it or not, and that's sort of how I see it. I've been very fortunate to have encountered largely the most welcoming people in America, so I believe there are some in America who are not, and I've covered it in the news. I have not had personal encounters in America that have not been welcoming of me for who I am, and I'm grateful for that.
Can we ask you one more and then let you leave?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, Mark Levine is, my co-host every hour two out of D.C., good buddy of mine. And Mark had a question. Mark, I know you're with us. Go ahead, shoot.
My question was about the man in Quebec that killed a soldier just this Monday who was detained at Toronto airport. Apparently he was trying to leave for Turkey, and he was on Canadians' watch list as sort of an ISIS supporter. Are people drawing connections between those two stories, what happened today and what happened Monday?
Yes, they absolutely are, because if we're fishing around to see if there's any reason why anybody would be targeting the Canadian government or military because of a recent decision, the recent decision has been to clamp down on Canadians who are using their passport to do things in favor of ISIL. So Canada has actually revoked the passports of dozens of people and are really clamping down. And then there was this incident where this guy ran down a couple of soldiers, and he turns out that he had been radicalized. So in fact, there is a real sense in Canada, which is a very tolerant society, that it is time to clamp down on people. And some have drawn the conclusion that this might actually be connected to that this might be retaliation for that sort of, that action that the Canadian government has taken.
I really appreciate you being with us. My husband's family's from Hyderabad. They're a Muslim family as well. So add that to the mix there. I hope that we can meet in person sometime, Ali. Thank you, Ali Velshi from Al Jazeera America, host of Real Money. I'm Leslie Marshall, back with Mark Levine and you right after this. We are back. So is he, Mark Levine. Not that he went anywhere. Former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. We are talking about the terrible situation that took place in Canada. It raised its national terrorism alert, according to officials, after a soldier was run over by a suspected jihadist, died in the hospital. And we're talking about what took place in Ottawa today. And, of course, there was a soldier killed today and another soldier killed over the weekend, as Mark Levine spoke of. Mark, thanks for holding, buddy, my buddy in D.C. on the East Coast, and my co-host every hour, too, here on Hump Day on the program. Let's take some calls. Chris is in Virginia on line 3. Chris, good afternoon. Welcome. Comment? Question?
Yeah, my whole thing about this situation is why is it that they won't tell us the race or any kind of, indications of the races of the guys who did the shooting in Canada? I mean, to me, that should be one of the first things that should be informed of.
Let me ask you something. What races are there?
What races are there?
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't really have a box for people that are of Middle Eastern descent.
Why can't it just say Middle Eastern descent?
Because you don't know that necessarily by looking at somebody's skin color. If you're brown, you could be Italian, you could be Mexican, right, or any other Hispanic or Latin country. You could be biracial. You could be a light-skinned black person. Come on.
Right, Leslie, but I mean,
can I ask you something? If a guy goes into McDonald's and kills 50 people, do you care if that person's black or white, or you only care if it's a Muslim, because then you call it terrorism?
Well, in this day and age, you have to worry if it's a Muslim or not.
I don't understand. Newtown, Connecticut was a white guy, and to me, that was a terrorist act.
It depends on how you want to parse the word terrorism. But you and I both know that in today's society, when the average person hears the word terrorism, they think of a terrorist act by like an overseas terrorist or a terrorist group. Now, that may not be the complete textbook correct definition, but I mean, come on.
You want the police to feed the beast and monster of prejudice already laying in your mind?
No, the who's feeding the beast of prejudice is the liberals and their PC agenda.
I am a liberal. Mark, are you and I feeding the beast of prejudice? Or what do you have to say on the skin color of this person? I think it's horrific. The skin color of this individual doesn't matter.
Wait, caller, Chris.
I have an opinion between you and Chris. Let me start with race. I don't think race matters one iota. It's got nothing to do with this that we know of. We don't have any indication of his race mattering. I do think it does matter whether he's a Canadian citizen or a foreigner, whether he is doing it out of an ideology that's a radical extremist, yes, Islamic ideology.
But they don't know that from looking at a guy in his skin color on the ground.
Exactly. His race doesn't matter, but the reason he's doing these acts does matter, and I do think that the fact that he shot the soldier at the unknown soldier, the National War Memorial, that he went inside the Parliament building suggests to me that it's more likely to be a political act than the guy that did the shooting at McDonald's. So while I don't think his race matters, I do think his ideology
matters. Yeah, but Mark, let me ask you something. How many people do you think were murdered in the United States in 2013?
I believe about 12,000 to 13,000.
Okay. And how many of those were at the hand of terrorists?
Less than 20, if there were that many.
I think there were zero in 2013. Because
I'm not sure which year. There was the guy in California who had a bit of an idea. But whatever. A tiny number, to be sure.
Or zero, right? So why is it that we as Americans we're flipped out about one death if somebody yells Allahu Akbar, as opposed to, even though we did flip out with Newtown, Connecticut, do you know what I'm saying? Why are we so concerned with the perverted religious beliefs of one terrorist versus the thousands of inmates in our prisons who claim to be Christian?
I mean, you and I, Leslie, have talked about at length the easy access to guns in America and the fact that the mentally ill can get guns. And I certainly think we've got a lot more to be concerned about mentally ill people getting guns. And by the way, I would definitely consider terrorist act the guy in, was it Nevada, who had the ranch, who didn't like black people. And
Cliven Bundy?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think he's a terrorist as well. Here's the distinction, I think. You're absolutely right. The vast majority of murders are not terrorists. But I think that someone who's trying to achieve a political goal, and
I disagree with you. I feel that the guy in Newtown was a terrorist. He terrorized a community, and any person who buried a child would agree with me in Newtown that young boy was a mass murderer. You think all these guys are mentally stable that want to join some group they've glorified like a rock star? Please.
This guy wanted to die.
He wanted somebody somewhere to martyr him, and he wanted to take as many people with him as he could. And that, quite frankly, is the MO of a mass murderer or a terrorist.
But, Leslie, do you think that the killers in ISIS right now, the ones that just massacred, I was just reading about, killed 700 people of the enemy tribe in Syria, are they mentally ill as well? Or is there some people who are fighting with an ISIS?
Oh, I'm not saying they're all mentally ill. No, I don't say. Right. I think a lot of these people that want to join them. I think people who look online, who are probably very depressed and lonely, and very similar, quite frankly, to the MO of like the Columbine shooter,
and
perhaps you can add mental illness in for some, not all. But I'm talking about that lone person who looks online and it says, attack the citizens, attack the military because they're attacking us. Canadians are joining the fight. And for you to get up and have a gun or access a gun and walk in. And by the way, the fact he could walk in with weapons is another situation. I don't care if it's Ottawa in this day and age worldwide. We had a guy for different reasons walk through the front door of the White House. Security is an issue, not just here and in Ottawa, but I would imagine worldwide. You have to have the leaders of nations be in more secure environments in their workplace and in their home. Having said that, to me, it does take a certain level of cuckoo, yes, to do that. Because, quite frankly, I got to be honest with you, Mark. I've been part of an experiment in sociology class where I could convince somebody to kill. I really could. There's certain things to say. There's certain buttons to push. Manipulation, brainwashing, It's very easy.
Oh, no question it occurs.
The Nazis were not rocket scientists. Not everybody in intelligence is a rocket scientist.
But here's the thing. Look, there's several hundred, probably several thousand, when you add all Westerners together, Americans, Canadians, and frankly, there's even more in Europe, people who want to join the fight. This guy, not the guy that we don't know anything about who did the killing in Ottawa today, but the guy that did the killing in Quebec on Monday, we know that he tried to fly to Turkey. And my guess is he wasn't there to see the great mosque in Istanbul. My guess is he went to Turkey because he tried to go to Turkey because he wanted to join
the
ISIS
fight.
Right,
and they prevented him from going to Turkey, but they couldn't, and here's an issue. They're a different country, but hello, we have a First Amendment. You and I cannot be, nor should we be, arrested for crazy ranting on Twitter or Facebook. And they couldn't arrest him for that.
We can and should be watched. I'm okay with that.
They did watch him, and they met with him, and also the members of his mosque met with him. And by the way, do we need to point out the reason they knew of his ramblings was because somebody in the mosque notified the authorities.
That's very important to point out. And it's also very important to point out at all times that the vast majority of American Muslims, of Canadian Muslims, are peaceful people who want to peacefully practice their religion. This is a dangerous ideology. It does not infect the majority of Muslims in America or in Canada. I'm not so sure about some places in the Middle East, but certainly not here. And the people who are joining these groups, in fact, the guy in Quebec, interestingly, to your call, by the way, was a white guy who converted to Islam from Christianity and probably had all the mental issues that Leslie talked about.
No, he didn't convert. That's incorrect, Mark. What he did is he just started calling himself by a name that what somebody in ISIS had, quite frankly. He never went there. First of all, you don't convert to Islam. That's wrong. They call embrace Islam. They don't believe in converting. In other words, they don't believe in pushing their religion on you, and they don't believe you and anybody else should push your religion on them. If you want to be a Muslim, you embrace it, but you would meet with an imam, and you would go through a process, if you will, of prayers and things like that, and he did not do that.
My point is he wasn't born Muslim, so this wasn't
nobody's born anything.
Well, he wasn't born into a Muslim family. The point is that this is an ideology that particularly the radical part, that it was not part of something he grew up with. It was something that he embraced, probably because...
Yeah, but it's not it's not a religion. Can I tell you something? If this guy were alive, right? Is the guy dead from the weekend or alive? He's dead, right? I'm very confused. The guy that killed the soldier that they have, he's still on the run.
I think they got him.
It was Monday. Are you talking about when the man was ran over by the car?
Yes.
He actually hit two soldiers and killed one.
He killed one soldier.
Right.
But they captured him.
He's in jail.
They captured him. He's alive. The guy for today is dead. Okay. I'm confusing my terrorist. Okay.
Right.
And the bottom line is, if we were in that room, flies on the wall in the interrogation, and they asked him, "Who were you joining? ISIS? Why?" Okay. And then you talk to even members of ISIS worldwide. Sorry, I'm not trying to say the Tea Party's like ISIS, but there are, 10 people, 10 different answers. I can assure you that. Because they don't have one. Some would say caliphate. Some would say Sharia law. Let me tell you, most white guys in this country don't know what the hell Sharia law is. And honestly, most men would hate Sharia law because they would be very, very lonely.
And certainly women would hate Sharia law. Look, at the end of the day, I do think his ideology matters, although I'm more than willing to concede he's almost certainly a lone gunman who had some mental issues. But I don't want to say his ideology doesn't matter. I don't want to say terrorism doesn't matter, even though it is absolutely a tiny minority of the people that are murdered.
Yeah, but you're a rational-minded person, as am I. To me, if you say this guy is Muhammad something and he was a Muslim, you're going to see retaliation. You know, I was sitting at Fox News Channel today getting my hair and makeup done for my TV appearance before I got bumped because of this breaking news, rightly so. I won't mention who, but somebody who I work with day in and day out said, "We need to get rid of those people."
Oh, my God.
And I looked at him and I said, "How?" And he said, "We need to get them out of this country." And I'm thinking, wow.
Who is them?
What is slippery? Muslims. And that's
what
did
he really mean all Muslims? We need
yeah.
to kick all Muslims,
all Muslims
out of this country?
So then I said, I guess, my father-in-law, who's a general surgeon and is a Muslim and retired
really.
And has saved thousands of lives. My mother-in-law, who delivered 3,862 children into the world. I'm going to tell you guys a story in one second. And my husband, who's an orthopedic surgeon, doesn't practice Islam, was raised Muslim, was an orthopedic surgeon. treats numerous professional athletes you would know that I cannot name, and saves tons of lives. And in the ER, let me tell you something, you know, he's even had skinheads with, you know, kill sand N-word, you know, tattooed on their chest. Look up at him. See, his name is Dr. Muslim Arab name. And believe me, when they're dying, they don't care who's saving their life. Okay. And I said to him, and I said, my son who was born in Pakistan, who I adopted, who probably, you know, was born in, you know, from a Muslim womb. I said, so does that mean I have to leave too? And he was completely, I usually shut my mouth. He was completely insulted. I'm going to tell you this. We're going to take a break. Guys, can I tell him this or no? Oh, I have time. I have time, right? Oh, I have 3 minutes. Let me tell you a story, okay? And Mark, you should know this being a Jewish man. I mean, in the Holocaust, it was very common for somebody to say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't shop at your store anymore because there's the law. And then when you were taken to the camps, they took over your shop, your house, your things. And if you survived and came back, they were like, I don't know you. And kept your house and your things, okay?
Right.
So the point is how fast we turn on people that have been part of our lives. And historically, I've seen the evil of man against man repeatedly and often with religion involved. My in-laws are from a small town. Actually, I'm going to say Okeechobee, Florida. And they came here from India, and they faced great persecution. And my mother-in-law is an OB-GYN, and people didn't want to go to her, but they started to go to her because they got to know her, and they saw that she was not only a good physician, but she had a great bedside manner. There were many women that came to her who were pregnant, and they did not have insurance, and they needed to have prenatal care, and they needed to have somebody help them deliver the baby. And she delivered hundreds of babies, not charging, or she would charge somebody $20 so that she could pay the assistant. And did this for years. Like I said, delivered 4,000 babies. My father-in-law is a general surgeon in the emergency room. They're both now retired and have moved out of that community. Saved thousands of lives. After 9/11, their house was torched, vandalized, etc.
Really?
The three guys that were arrested, you ready for this? You ready? She delivered them. All three of them.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So to me, when people say we need to know the race, we need to know the name, we need to know the religion, no, we don't need to know that. But the authorities need to know that so that they can find out, you know, was this somebody outside of Canada? Was this somebody inside? Did this person have ties or aspirations to ISIS? And by the way, I don't think they had ties to ISIS because ISIS loves to put it out there. You know, we're going to behead, we beheaded, here's the video, have a nice day. They have not taken credit for this.
Was ideology is what we need to know, not his race, not his religion. We need to know his ideology to know whether.
But again, if this is a guy that last week was Joe and this week has changed his name, is that an ideology or is this a cuckoo who's joining a group of people that he really does not fully understand the ideology of? That's my point.
It's probably a mixture of the two. We do know, by the way, that ISIS praised the man that killed the people in Quebec on Monday and was already showing videos of what he did to recruits.
Right.
So whether or not ISIS recruited the man to begin with, which I doubt, they definitely use – and I would be surprised if they do not use what happened today in their next –
Oh, no, of course. They're probably all laughing. What a stupid idiot that he did this in our name. But, hey, we'll take it.
Yeah. No, I think so.
All right. Do we have – guys, can we take a couple of quick calls? Can we do that, please? Definitely not. Okay. Our calls hold. We'll come to you. Mark, I have to leave you.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing your space today with so many elements. It's been crazy, but we'll talk again next week, buddy. Have a great
rest. Thank you, Leslie. You too.
All right.
Take care.
Mark Levine, as always, at Mark Levine Talk. Follow him there. I'm Leslie Marshall, and we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back live from an